Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on and praise the Lord. She said, no matter what the problem, when I'm broke, when I'm busted, when I'm disgusted, I can go. I can go. Oh, no matter the problem. How many of you know you can go to the rock? How many of you ever been to the rock? How many of you know he's a rock in a weary land? How many of you know he's a strong deliverer? How many of you know whatever you need, God's got it? Oh, come on, some of y'all sitting here act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a God who can do anything, anytime, and is always on time. Oh, come on, get a lot of hand praise together. I can go to the rock. And no matter my problem, I'm so glad that I can go. Amen. I can go. Yes. Ain't no harm in praising. Amen. No, don't nobody know what you've been through. Ain't nobody's business but the Lord. You feel a shout coming on, you ought to go ahead and shout. You feel like running, you ought to go ahead and run. Whatever it takes to praise him, go ahead and do that while you still got breath in your body. This might be the last time. I wouldn't wait. I just wouldn't wait. While I'm here, I will praise the Lord. The Bible declares, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Father in heaven, we thank you again for time has come that we might declare all these words of life. Thank you, God, for this people that have assembled themselves together in this place. They've come, Lord, to hear a word from on high. They've gathered themselves in their tent doors, and they're waiting. Speak to us, Lord, that we might know your will for our lives, that we might know the way in which you would have us to go. Keep us mindful of your commandments, that we might be obedient and not cause ourselves to lose out on life. Bless now, Lord, this moment of preaching. And I pray, God, that you will send your preaching power, so much so that it would make this moment easy. Thank you, God, for giving us another chance, for entrusting me with the responsibility to stand before this people. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let every heart say amen, 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 and amen. Amen. We've already shared a reading this morning from the first book of the Chronicles, the chapter 29. And I want to take you over a little further. You may remain seated. I just want to lift up an additional verse to the reading of God's word. And we want to, before we go further, invite you today to come along with us, and as we go down to Jarrett, Virginia, to celebrate the pastoral anniversary of the Reverend George Mays, a very good friend of ours. Our transportation should arrive here shortly, and we want to invite all of you to go. Be your guests or disciples here. You're invited to come along and enjoy this day with us as we travel down to worship this afternoon in the city of Jarrett. Amen.
Amen.
Pray that all of you will want to go, and we'll make room for you. Let's give the Lord some praise, and let's bless our choir for the fine job. Oh, come on, let's be kind. Amen. Thank God for our children's choir that sang for us earlier. Amen. not trouble your patience long today. It's just good to be alive. And, we thank God for all you that have come to be here in this place. In the First Chronicle letter, the 29th chapter, as we've shared in verses 1 through 9, I want to look at verse 14, which is a continuation of David's prayer and his praise unto God as they are preparing to build the temple of the Lord. And verse 14 says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hands." Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, "Neighbor." Some of y'all ain't speaking to your neighbor. I don't know what they've done to you, but they're sorry. Neighbor. Okay. The pastor is going to preach. If it's not God's, then whose is it? Amen. If it's not God's, then whose is it? David has an awesome task before him, in that it must affect him both positively and somewhat negatively. As you may know, David desired to be the master builder of the temple of God. He wanted to show his thanks and appreciation for all that the Lord had done for him, Sister Foster, and he thought that it would be marvelous to be the chief architect of God's house. It was his dream. It was his ambition. He didn't feel complete without building this monumental place unto God. He had been king before the people, and certainly he had experienced the awesome favor of God. And it is always, in my opinion, the right thing to do when God has been so good to you to desire to give him something monumental. Y'all ought to say amen. Amen. To give him something that perhaps is not equal to all that he has done. But at least we make an earnest effort to give God something special. I'm convinced that David had the right idea. The Lord said to him, "David, it's not to be." He said, "There are reasons that I've chosen another, but it's not because I don't love you. It's not because you're not special to me, but I've just made up my mind that someone else would build my temple." He said, "But David, be encouraged, because I do want you to know this, that he will come from your line." Amen. Some things, beloved of God, you must understand that you may not do it, but God favors you by at least allowing it to come from your line. I'm convinced of God that there are some famous folk in our families that yet have been discovered. That's why, parents, you ought to be mindful how you treat your children. Amen. Don't tell them they're stupid. They'll endeavor to be stupid. Don't tell them that they're worthless, because they'll lose their sense of value of life. Don't tell them that they're not going to amount to anything, because they'll sit around the house eating gummy worms and drinking milk and cookies and don't want to be nothing. And then you'll have frustration, and you'll be mad when they turn out to be 19 and 20 and 29 and 30 and still in the same room in the same house. It's all your fault, because you told him he wasn't going to be nothing. And then you want to tell him to go out and get a job, and he tell you, "Mama, you said I wasn't going to be nothing." And then you want to fight about it. But it's your fault. Just go ahead and make another batch of cookies and buy another gallon of milk. But it's interesting that, there are persons that you must understand that are in your family that the Lord has, I am convinced, decided that you didn't get it done, but I'm going to make sure that someone along your line will bring glory to my name. If you sit next to your child, look at him and tell him there's hope yet. Amen. Some of y'all ought to tell your husband and wife, there's hope yet. As Mr. Miyagi told Daniel's son, I have a hope for you, Daniel's son. But I want you to understand that David found out that Solomon would be the builder of the temple. So David gathers all of the people together and stands before them. And he says that I want you all to understand that God has chosen my son. And he's rather inexperienced. He's young. He doesn't have all the talents that maybe he needs yet, but God is a good God. Somebody in here ought to witness to the fact that when you started out, you didn't have everything you needed. But God was good to you. Amen. Matter of fact, the reason why you're still gainfully employed and your name still rests on the door is because that which you didn't have while you were sleeping at night, God was invoking it in your spirit. Amen. You know you weren't that good yet, but God was good to you. So he asked for their prayers and their support of young Solomon as he builds the temple. But I want you to understand something that David brings to my attention, Audrey, is that not only is it incumbent upon them to pray for Solomon, but it is also their responsibility to provide for Solomon those needful things in order that the temple would be constructed. I want you to understand that David is a leader, and leaders must make rightful assessments of the people. Look at the name and tell him he finna talk about us now. Y'all got mighty loud when y'all said that. I want y'all to understand that every leader must look at his people. And he must decide within himself if he's qualified enough to argue with himself and to debate with some sense of responsibility. What must I say unto this people in order that I might convince them to do the will of God? You see, every pastor has a moment in his ministry when he has to face the reality of finance. Y'all didn't see this coming, but it's here. You have to realize that in order to build a greater work, yes, it takes prayers. Yes, it takes fasting. Yes, you must meditate, but you also must participate. And participation in this regard means you got to give unto the Lord. I want you to understand that in order for this people to have accomplished the work, they had to look within themselves and ask themselves crucial questions in regards to their finance unto the Lord. All of you know what you give to the Lord. You know what you don't give. Amen. Please don't start looking at your shoes now. It would discourage me. I'm saying that David realized that in order for them to give properly, they have to understand that what they have doesn't belong to them. Are you listening to me? David stands up and he said, listen, I want y'all to understand that we are just stewards over these multiple gifts that God has given us. I want to know how you feel, because some of you all have been mighty blessed by the Lord. Right. Oh, yes, you have. You don't sit here now and try to act like you ain't got nothing because you think I'm going to ask for something, but the Lord has been good to you. Yeah. You are driving mighty nice. Oh, yes, you are. Yeah. We've come a long ways in our blessedness. Yes, Lord, there was a time when everybody drove Ford, Buick, or Chevrolet. Now we're driving Mercedes, Lexus, and Infiniti. And if you ain't the owner of one, you know somebody who got one. And whenever you got a long trip to go, you always suggest that they drive. Amen. It is nice to ride on leather seats with heated accompaniments and CD players and sunroof tops. That's mighty nice. But I want you to understand that what you have still belongs to the Lord. Now, some of y'all sitting there being real about this thing, saying, no, Reverend, the payment book got my name on it. Well, I understand that, but if you look real fine between the lines, you'll see something in there that says, gift from the Lord. Yes. I want you to understand that there is a responsibility for all that God has entrusted to you. Yes. Amen. Everything you have right now, the dress you're wearing, the suit, the tie, the money in your pocket, the ATM card, the Visa, the MasterCard, the American Express, all of it belongs to the Lord. Amen. Fact of the matter is, you must take responsibility as to what you do with what God has given you. Right. Say amen, somebody. Amen. David said that you all are not going to be able to sit around and watch other folk build this temple. What you're going to have to do is, you're going to have to follow my example. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, David sets an example. What he does is, he says here in the text, he says, I have personally given of my own. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got to make it personal. Amen. I told you this ain't going to take long. First of all, in verse 3, he said, listen, in lieu of and beside my devotion, he says, I have personally gone into my treasury and I've given gold and silver. But Clark, I tell you, the problem with folk is that they don't want to give the gold and the silver. What you want to mostly give to the Lord is what you got left over. Y'all might as well say amen. You want to wait till you done spend all you want to spend, and then when you come to church on Sunday morning and it's offering time to present your tithe, you got a tip instead of tithe. Say amen, somebody. You're not proud of what you give, so when you come around the table, you're looking at the stains on the carpet and trying to seek out your friend because you know what you're dropping ain't all you ought to drop. Right. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Look at the name and tell him it's tight, but it's right. Right. Amen. The fact of the matter is, he said, I gave God the best that I had to give. Yeah. I'm wondering this morning, how many of you can say you've given God the best that you had to give? Right. Oh, I noticed by the response, there's only two of us. Fact of the matter is that you must understand that when you give unto the Lord, it's not like giving unto your friends. It's not like giving unto folk who have given unto you. But what David makes clear is, you got to look at what you have and take the best of it and give it to the Lord. He makes it personal because that what you give does matter. And the fact of the matter is, you will notice throughout the Holy Writ that God always requires the first fruits. Amen. God doesn't want your leftovers. Don't you be making excuses before the Lord, talking about you got bills, you created the bills. Amen. Don't make excuses saying, well, I got to save a little something for a rainy day. Let me tell you something, it rains all the time. And the fact of the matter is, when it rains, you don't spend none of that anyway. All right. You must understand that David says you got to look at what you're giving. Then secondly, he said, by my leadership example, I have set for you the standard for giving. He said that the way you've seen me give, that's how you ought to give. I'm convinced of the Lord, the reason why, Brother McKenzie, that we have stingy folk giving is because our parents were stingy. Our parents would sit around and say, no, I ain't going to put all that in the church. Yeah. And that was stuck in the back of your mind every time you get ready to fill out. You got to understand that you got to set an example in your giving. You cannot train your children how to give if you don't give. You can't convince me that the only thing that you have left to give the Lord each and every Sunday morning is a $2 tip. All right. You leave more of that on the table down at the Outback. Yeah. When you done sat there and ate yourself full of cinnamon fries and blooming onions and stuff. Amen. You know I'm right about it. Some of y'all, when you get down to the last part of the meal, they bring the bill to you, pull out your Visa card, just proud. Sign your name to the bill and sit there and figure out the percentage. Write that in on the bottom of the bill and sign your name real proud and whip it out and tell a young lady, thank you so much. That was a mighty fine meal. But I want to tell you, some of y'all leave more on the table for a meal that ain't going to stay with you than for the God who brought you from a mighty long way. I know I'm right about it. You got to understand that when you sit down and folks see you give like that, you ought to be recognizing the fact that they're watching how you do that. Amen. Your children come up and ask you about Air Jordans and Reeboks and such, and you just run on down. You fuss about it, but you'd rather spend $135 for a pair of sneakers. And all year long, you don't give $135 to the Lord. There's something wrong with that. Some of us, when we come to church on Sunday morning, we got on $500 worth of clothes and won't get a Lord but $2 in the worship service. I tell you, there's something wrong with that. Some of us, when we leave here this afternoon because we didn't prepare our dinners, ladies, I'm going to come your way first. You got to run down to the food line there in the plaza. You got to run in there and grab a little macaroni and cheese. Got to grab a few greens off the counter. Don't buy the greens from food line. They don't wash them good. Might as well buy you some of them glory greens and go on about it and then tell the folk that's your cooking. Y'all know I'm right about it. But you'll go down to the food line and you'll drop all kinds of money in to buy your dinner and then go home and eat good and still didn't get a Lord but $2 on Sunday morning. Better yet, your husbands, because they are trying to get back in your good grace, will tell you, baby, you ain't got to worry about cooking. I'll run by Hardee's. Pick us up a 12-piece, coleslaw and all the fixings. And you spend more in Hardee's than you gave in Sunday morning service to the Lord. I tell you, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with the people who will go down to Durham, North Carolina, to the outlet mall. And you'll plunk down all kinds of money for shoes and all kinds of jewelry and finery. And you'll tell yourself, well, I got to look good when I go to church. But I'm here to tell you, I'd rather you run by Walmart and look cheap, but give good to the Lord. I know all I'm right about it. I didn't intend to get a whole lot of shouting this morning, but I thought at least y'all would say amen when I'm right about it. And secondly, you notice that he gives plenty. He said, over and above everything that I have provided for the temple. And I want you to understand, beloved of God, that the sacrificial gift is appreciated. You must understand that the tithe is what we owe. But there is an offering that we ought to sow. And I want you to understand that in order to build the temple, it took a personal over and above mentality from all of God's people. Some of us will sit around in the church and on Sunday morning and look at what other folk write on their envelopes. Shake our head and say, no, not me. But I'm here to tell you that if you think about how the Lord has blessed you, if you think about how the Lord has prospered you, wouldn't you want to give him something over and above what you already have? Oh, come on now. I'm convinced that David says that I gave plenty because the Lord had given so much to me. There's a song we sing that says, you can't beat God's giving. Sad part about that, Sister Sandra, some folk ain't even trying. That ain't no excuse, beloved of God, to sit down and say, no, all the Lord has given me, I can't give it back to him, but you sure could try. All right. Amen. And I don't want to confuse anybody this morning and make you think that we're not appreciative of what you're trying to do. All right. But I want you to understand that David sets an example of what you ought to do. Say amen, somebody. Amen. He said that I gave over and above. Look at the name and tell him I'm going to step it up a little bit. Amen. Look at your other neighbor and tell him, you ought to help me out now. Amen. Why does he do it? Because it does matter how much you give. Are you listening to me? Somebody once told me, said, well, Reverend, don't matter what I give as long as I give. I looked at my friend standing there who said that. And I said, let me ask you a question. How much do you give? They gave me that typical response, Sister Campbell, that most folk who ain't giving always give you what I give between me and the Lord.
All right.
I know I'm right about it. Because I'm here to tell you that anything that you're proud of, you brag about it.
All right.
You know I'm right about it. You don't hold back a little chance to brag about yourself. Folk that give will be more than happy to tell you how much they give because they believe within themselves that they are rightly given unto the Lord.
Right.
Am I right about it? He never did tell me what he gave. So I did a little investigative research. Amen. I inquired of persons who I knew had that information. Now, before y'all start worrying about who it is here, I wasn't at Brookville when I did this. But I found out that he was a $2 giver. Now this boy rode around in an Infiniti with some nice wheels on it. Had a multi-disc CD changer. Worked for Philip Morris. And bragged about the fact that he made $83,000 a year. And yet he gave the Lord $2. You can't tell me that it don't matter what you give.
All right.
I'm telling you right now, what you ought to do is think about how the Lord has blessed you.
Right.
And figure out for yourself what it is I ought to give.
Yeah.
Some folk get upset with you, Sister Scott, when you tell them how much they ought to give. Pastor ain't got no business telling me how much to give. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Bible is clear that the leader has the responsibility to make sure that the people of God are doing right by God.
Right.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
So don't get upset when the pastor pulls you off and say, look here, how you doing on your tithe? And I say, I know what's going to happen now, Brother Clark. Folk going to start avoiding me. But I'm here to tell you that it does matter what you give.
Yeah.
Then it does also matter, my friends, how you give.
Right.
Bible said that the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
All right.
And I want to know how many of you are really happy when you give.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't have to raise your hand too high, but you ought to be happy when you give.
All right.
Sometimes I look out and I see folk who don't look happy about their giving.
Yeah.
But see, what you must understand is when the Lord gave it to you, he was happy to let you have it.
All right.
Am I right about it? So if he loves a cheerful giver, you ought to be happy to give it back to him.
All right.
See, Arnita, the problem is that what we've done is we have lost sight of the principle. And that is that the Bible declared that if you bring it into the storehouse, the Lord will see to it that it's rightly divided, and then he will make sure that it's issued in proper proportion.
All right.
I know that there are some folk who will say, Reverend, I've never asked the church for anything. But I'm here to tell you that that's a good thing for you. But you don't realize, beloved of God, how many folk are in a bad situation.
Right.
You don't realize how many times the phone rings during the week when folk call and say, Reverend, my lights are going off.
Yeah.
You don't realize how many times folk are coming in because the rent is well past due. And see, you can't take the attitude that it ain't my fault that they ought to handle their business, but the fact of the matter is the Bible says we're all in this thing together.
All right.
Bible said that you ought to care for your brothers and sisters. So you have to understand that if you cheerfully give, then the church from the storehouse will be able to minister to those who have a need.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you now that it may not be your turn today,
right,
but if you keep on living, you never know when hardship will come knocking on your door. I know you got a good job and you've been there for a long time, but I'm here to tell you, they still lay folk off. Even on the best of jobs. I know B&W been there for a mighty long time, but there might come a day when their doors will close up too. Erickson is on a roll now. Look like everybody want to have a cellular phone, but I'm here to tell you, one of these days, Erickson might have some problems.
Right.
You do remember the day when you had companies in this city that are no longer here.
Right.
Folk thought they'd be around forever, but I'm here to tell you, hardship can come knocking at your door.
All right.
Then David also brings to their attention, he said, listen, I've shown you how to give. He said, I made it understood to you why it's important for you to love giving. So then he comes down to verse 5. He said, listen, how many of you are willing to consecrate yourselves today? My question today is, how many of you are willing to change the way you give? I want you to understand that everything that you have belongs to God. It's not yours. It's not yours. It'll never be yours. But David said that if you consecrate yourself, in other words, if you prayerfully consider what you're going to give to the Lord, I believe that the temple will get built. I believe when the people of God consecrate themselves in their giving, that it will bring about a new financial outlook for the church. Are you listening to me now? I want you to understand that the lights don't stay on for free. I want you to understand that when it was hot, somebody told me, said, Reverend, turn the air conditioner on. The air conditioner don't run for free. You must understand that the cushioned pews where you're sitting were not donated for free. I want you to understand that the breakfast that we serve every Sunday morning, those eggs are not hatched by free chickens. No, the sausage is not rendered by free pigs. We have to pay somebody to feed God's people. Now, I'm not complaining, beloved of God, but I want y'all to understand that you got to change your attitude about God's stuff. You got to understand that if you consecrate yourselves and if you prayerfully consider what you give to the Lord, I believe that giving will increase. And as giving increases, then we will reach our visionary plan. Somebody told me, said, Reverend, some folk are afraid that if we undertake such a large scale plan, what's going to happen when you decide to go? Well, let me tell you something. If you worry about me leaving, it's going to take men with real big arms. It's going to take cars with long tow chains. It's going to take trucks that can pull concrete out the ground. Because Reverend is rooted and planted in the ministry. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I've come to do a great work for the Lord. And I don't want it to be said that I want more for you than you want for yourself. I don't want it to be said that I'm trying to build something to my own glory and honor. Because the truth of the matter is that I'm getting older every day. And one of these days, my name will just be a byword in the city. But I want to tell you that I heard somebody saying that only what you do for Christ will last. I heard somebody say that if you work for the Lord, that serving Him is going to pay off after a while. I'm here to tell you that if you make up your mind to give liberally unto the Lord, you never know how the Lord's going to bless your house. If you bless God's house, I'm sure that God will bless your house. Am I right about it? The Bible said that the people of God began to rejoice because they saw that giving was given with wholeheartedness and love. I want you to understand that if you give from your heart, then the Lord will bless your heart. I want you to understand that no matter what you give to the Lord, He'll make sure that while you're giving it out on one end, He's supplying on the other end. Am I right about it? That's why I'm convinced that the Bible said that my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory. I'm here to tell you that I checked with glory this morning. Just before I came out to preach the word, I found out that in glory there were no shortages. I found out in glory that they were still producing blessings. Matter of fact, I eased over into the distribution area. I pulled up the roll call list. I saw Annie Davis' name on the list. I saw Amanda McCoy's name on the list. I saw Sister Mitchell's name on the list. I saw Miss McKenzie's name on the list. I saw Anita Hayes' name on the list. I saw Sister Dismond's name on the list. The Lord said, Leroy, what are you doing? I said, I had to stop by and find out that if I preach this word, that if I told them to give unto you, that you wouldn't forget to give unto them. He said, well, Leroy, I want you to know something this morning. I've got a good record up here. I know who is giving, and I know what they need. I want to tell somebody this morning, you don't have to worry about giving unto the Lord. Your name is already on the list.
house. You don't have to worry this morning about running out of your stuff, because the Bible says my Father is rich in houses and land. He's got cattle on a thousand hills. He's got many mansions in glory. And whatever you need, God's got it. Whatever you want, the Bible says that He'll give you the desires of your heart. I wish I had somebody that knows what I'm talking about. I wish I had somebody that don't mind surveying with me. When you woke up this morning, you were sleeping on your bed. When you woke up this morning, you had carpet on your floor, had shoes for your big feet, had a shirt to put on your back, had food on your table. Hadn't God been good to you? Am I right about it? I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that God will provide. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that when I look around, I can see the goodness of the Lord. I'm so glad this morning that God's been good to me. As a matter of fact, I heard somebody say He's been better to me than I've been to myself. Can you say yeah? Can you say yeah? Has God been good to you? If the Lord's been good to you, why don't you wave your hand? If the Lord's been good to you, you ought to stand on your feet. If the Lord's been good to you, you ought to say thank you. If the Lord made a way for you, if the Lord turned you around, if the Lord put breath in your body, if the Lord, I said, if the Lord done anything in your life, can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Everything I got, it comes from the Lord. Everything I need, it comes from the Lord. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that God will. I said God will. Anybody know that God will? Won't God do it? Can't God do it? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. It belongs to the Lord. I'll open up my purse. I'll open up my pocket. I'll write my check, because I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. I'm just as happy as I can be. Anybody happy in the house? Anybody happy in the house? Can you see it? See it? Yeah!
Doors of the church are open. We invite you to come. We invite you to come right now to make your decision today, because the Lord has been good to us. Everything that we need, He has provided. And I'm here to tell you today, if you've never tried Him in your tithing offering, you ought to make a decision right now. Right now today, I would change the way I give to the Lord. I would do it, because everything comes from Him. And we're only giving Him back what comes from His hand. Am I right about it? We are undertaking a great work. I don't want you to be fearful of following a vision. You see, because when you follow the Lord, you can't go wrong. I know some think, that's just too much. What you got to understand is, if you're ever going to get from one place to another, you got to take some steps. I believe God for a greater Brookville church. I believe God because He said that He would, that no man would perish. Within our city, within our community, there are lives that are unsaved and have not met Him. And see what you're looking at now. This is just a beginning. This is not everybody. trust me, they're yet still coming. They're coming. And you don't have to fear trusting the Lord. No. And I'm telling you, beloved of God, that you haven't seen yet what great things the Lord's going to do. God said that if we trust Him, all things were possible. Sometimes giving unto the Lord seems to be the last thing on our mind. Sometimes we wait till Sunday morning to see what's left. But can I offer you a challenge? I've learned, Sister Campbell, that folk like challenges. Let me tell you this. Tomorrow morning, Monday, you set aside God's portion on Monday. Take your envelope home with you today. Fill it out. Everything, the name, the amount, fill it out. Put your check in it. Your cash, whatever. And leave the Lord's portion. And try me and see that you will not lack for anything. I'm telling you that right now. I'm telling you, if every Monday morning when you wake up and you said your prayers unto the Lord, fill out His portion and set it off to the side. Now, be mindful that we're getting a little older now. Don't set it nowhere you can't remember where you put it. Set it somewhere you can see it now. Put it in the mirror, because you know how we do. Grandma used to hang stuff at the mirror. You know, all of us like looking in the mirror. Oh, y'all might as well come on now. You don't get that eyeliner on straight without looking in the mirror. And then when you leave home on Sunday morning, grab that portion. And then when you get to church on Sunday morning, then you decide what you're going to give over and above. And I tell you this, you watch and see within a few short days, what you thought was hard to do will bring a blessing to your house. I'm telling you now that if you tithe unto the Lord, you're going to find out you got more money than you thought you had. Oh, I know I'm right about it. See, I'm telling you because I'm a participant. I give a whole lot more than I have to give because I want to give. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. If I want anybody to love me, I want the Lord to love me. Amen. Amen. Sister Mitchell, all right. She's right snapping. Amen. But I need the love of the Lord. Because I'm convinced that until you know the love of God, you can't love nobody else. That's why we got so many mean folk. Amen. Try me and see. And if that fails you, you come see me and say, Reverend, I tried it. It didn't work. And I believe that we can work something out. We invite you today, those of you who have never accepted Him as Lord and Savior in your life, to come now. Come to Jesus just as you are. Come to Jesus. We invite you to come. These men stand to receive you, your brothers, to welcome you, to accept Him as Lord and Savior in your life. Secondly, if you've already accepted Him at some time in your life as your Lord and Savior, but you've fallen away from the church, you didn't come as often as you knew you should have. You've had some difficulties, but that's all right. Who hasn't? You want to come back to the Lord. Isaiah says, return unto the Lord, O people. Come on back today. Come on, make up your mind today that, you know what, I'm going to start all over. Inasmuch as it all belongs to God, I belong to God too. I want to start over. Pastor, I'm coming. I want a fresh start. And we stand with open arms to welcome you back. Nobody cares what you've done. Nobody cares what you're doing because the work is progressive and we'll work it out. Come on back today. Come on, you've been outside long enough. Why don't you come on back? And then lastly, we want to invite those that are looking for a church home. You're searching for a place that you can be discipled in the Lord. Membership is cool in some places. But I tell you, the word says, go and make disciples. And I believe that discipleship is going to make all the difference in our city. The disciples that go in and out of this place are going to have far-reaching effect on all the lives of those that we come in contact with. We invite you to come and be a part of our family. You wish to join the Brookville Church today, we invite you to come. Because see, when you come to join with us, we're going to hook you up with the Lord. It's not about being a part of this. It's about being a part of Him. That's what's important, to be a part of the Lord, to be in Christ. Would you come today? That decision is yours to make. Would you come? We're expecting you today. We invite you to come because we expect you to be here. The Lord is doing a great thing. We invite you to come. Is there one today? Is there one today? Oh, bless your heart, young fella. Okay, he's moving around a little bit. Amen. Oh, look at him. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Come on and praise the Lord. Oh, bless him. Come on today. Come on. Is there another today? Come on today. Don't hesitate today. Why don't you come? Amen. Why don't you come? This is a great day. Amen. We thank God for our brother. God bless you. Amen. With Sister Long is going to take care of that for a moment. We invite you to come. Why don't you today? This is the day for you to make a decision. You have so much to be thankful for. God has been so good to us. Hasn't He been good to you? We invite you today. We invite you today. While Sister Long is taking care of that information, we want to invite you to prayer. It's prayer time. We want to pray, and we invite you to the altar for prayer. Whatever your needs and concerns are, we invite you to come now. While you're still yet alive. Now, while they're coming, we want to encourage your hearts. That whatever you need, whatever you stand in need of, amen. God bless. He's available. He's available. Come on today. While you're coming, whatever your concerns are, amen. Come on today. Now we want to tell you that prayer is an awesome, awesome tool in the hands of a people that know how to use it. And whoever you are today, if you pray unto the Lord, the word guarantees that He will hear and answer your prayer. I know I got a witness in the house. God loves you. Whatever you need today, whatever it is, He will provide it for you. On the altar of your heart, whatever your needs are, set it before the Lord right now. Don't be afraid to be honest with God. Whatever it is you need, if you need it, He will provide. You don't have to leave here today just like you came. You can leave here today better. You may not leave here today complete, but you can leave here with a fresh start. You're on your road to recovery, even right now. The word says it is so. And I believe every word He says. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Lord is in this place. Father in heaven, we're praying unto you now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're standing one with another. There are so many needs and so many concerns. You know all about us. You know exactly what we stand in need of.
You know, Lord, all of our hurts and our pain. Hallelujah. Thank Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this man, these fine children. We thank you, Lord, for his decision today. And even though, Lord, there are so many unanswered questions, we know that if we surrender unto you, you will answer. We know, Lord, that there are some difficult moments in the lives of some of these your children. But you said that you'd be a burden bearer. You said that you'd never allow us to carry any more than we're able to bear. And when it gets to be too much for us, you said, Lord, that you would be there equally yoked with us, helping us every step of the way. God, you've always been our help. Heal now and deliver. Set free those that are captive. Open the eyes of they that have been blinded. Touch their wounded bodies. God, we pray for man and a woman, dear friends of our own, Brother Boyd, neighbors who are struggling just a little, sickness, some difficulty, but you know all about them. We pray for those who are listed as sick and shut in, they that desire to be here but are not. All over this house, Lord, from one side of the wall to the other, you're hearing and answering their prayer. Bless them, Lord. Families that are torn, heartaches, marriages, jobs, food on the table, just the necessities of life, uncertainty about the future. But I hear you saying that it doesn't pay to worry, because not only do you hold tomorrow, but you control tomorrow. I hear you speaking courage and peace in the lives of this your people. Bless us, Lord. Grant us, Lord, traveling mercies today as we shall depart from this place in great number to travel down the highway. Guide us and watch over us. We do pray in Jesus' name. And now the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each of you. As you prepare to depart from this place, bless God these young ladies who have entered themselves in a contest. Bless, Lord, their endeavors. Bless, Lord, all of our friends and our family. Go with the Buddies Incorporated. Go with the ushers, the choir. Go, Lord, with this family. Peace, love, and mercy. In Jesus' name. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen.
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 and amen. Amen. Hug somebody and tell them God's going to make it happen for you. Amen. God bless you.